This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home.
Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard, not the billiards. It was
billiards room.
Come on already. Come on, we call it the...
The Place to Be.
The Place to Be, yes, the Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said!
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
D'Lo Brown interfered with a frog splash and hit it on Severin, getting some revenge.
I know.
What the hell was it? What was that laugh? It was like an old cartoon fucking Hanna-Barbera dog or something. It was like Snidely. Was that the fucking dog that laughed like that?
JR's got a little more time than I do to sit and actually rewrite a whole show.
This is the third time you said it to me today now. I'm really curious.
Well, I'm not saying that you have nothing to do. I'm just saying
I'm curious
days.
I'm curious how I have more free time than
no,
you.
No, I'm going to...
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I know it's been a rough, and I'm not used to this long, grueling podcast schedule.
Oh, for fuck's sakes. Are you guys just joking around for the next hour?
Come on. Did you say D'Amato, late 20s, 30s? And you included yourself in that as well?
I was being nice. I am still technically in my 30s.
I think they might hear shock wall.
What the fuck is
shock wall?
Wall?
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
You go all through the shock wall.
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. PTB Nation, let me know what you're
our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richards.
I don't get angry at the bills I have to pay. I don't get angry when my mom smokes pot. Hits the bottle and goes right to the rock. Fuck it and fight it, it's all the same. Living with Louis Dog's the only way to stay sane. Let the lovin' come back to me.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, coming at you live here. This Monday evening inside the PTB Man Cave, we are one night removed from this year's edition of SummerSlam. It was a red-hot show, a lot to talk about, and we're going to do it with you here tonight. We also have a little housekeeping to take care of that we'll start off with, but let's first bring in the one and only, the man who was jumping for joy, popping wood in his trousers last night, because the bitch is back and he's thrilled about it. Of course, my one and only PIC, Mr. Scott Criscola. Scott, how you doing?
Good evening, JR. Yeah, there's a lot of trouser popping, things hopping last night. Welcome, PTB Nation.
Viagra popping.
welcome to episode 246 of the Place to Be podcast. That was a pretty good show last night. That's an understatement. Some are calling it maybe second or third best SummerSlam of all time. Maybe. We'll talk about it tonight from the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Maybe the best SummerSlam, at least since going there. The first one was in 2009. Probably the best SummerSlam in that building.
It's up there.
Yeah, it's up there. And we'll talk about it.
So,
and then we got some work to do and then some little trivia fun later. But
So let's explain, obviously, the change in schedule. You know, for weeks we've been saying that we were going to be talking to Kevin Kelly tonight. And we actually did speak to Kevin last week. You were out of town, but Chad Campbell had stepped in. It was a great episode, awesome show. But pretty much maybe for only the second time in 245 episodes, Scott, we had a corruption with the file. File was lost. And the Kevin Kelly magic has disappeared into computer heaven, so... we're trying
lost
to reach
episode.
it was a good one. You didn't even get to hear it. The one of us, you will never even know what was talked about in that episode. Chad stepped in, and maybe it was the curse of Criscola. You weren't there, so the file was destroyed. But
yeah, now everyone's gonna say that I fucking snuck into your house, put a Trojan in there or something.
I don't want to know what you and your
yeah, we don't know
Trojans.
No Trojans.
But yes, so we're gonna reschedule with Kevin. He's a very busy man. So we're trying to get him back. I cannot promise you when it will be, but I will promise you that regardless of the schedule we have built, as soon as we record with Kevin, we will post it that night. We're not going to save it. We're not going to hold it. That was what happened this time. Basically, we were waiting, and the file just got fucked up. So we will talk to Kevin. We are in talks with him to get him back. We'll go through 2000 and that Ring of Honor show in Providence. We'll talk about both, and hopefully we'll have that for you soon in the next week or so. Mm-hmm. As for this week, we'll be doing just a SummerSlam review tonight. Mm-hmm. Probably just a quick little headline show. And then the first two, or the only two, semifinal matches in the PTB 2013 Trivia Tournament to set up the final. So it'll be a little bit of a quick show for you here tonight, but we'll try and make it as action-packed as possible. And then on Wednesday night, of course, the big interview with Scott Keith. So
yes,
we'll build towards that. So, all right, Scott, why don't we get into last night's action?
Okay.
Why don't you set the stage for us? Where did you watch the show?
I was at our good friend Mike's, Mr. GetThePointRadio.com, and with the crew, Mr. Reckless, Mr. Armento was there, the rest of the cast of characters. The problem last night, JR, and I don't know about anybody who actually ordered the show through Cablevision, or I guess it would be Optimum. Cablevision had a technical snarl last night, and from Greenwich pretty much to Westport in Lower Fairfield County here in Connecticut, wiped out.
Well, the funny thing is, did you see there were people calling 911?
Yeah.
Fucking morons.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Useless state.
And then our friend Mike was, not Mike, another Mike, was goofing with us because I was out in the front porch chatting with John while he was having a smoke. And he was saying, yeah, they just canceled the pay-per-view because too many people can't watch it. Yeah, like that's going to fucking end. Beware of Dog 3. That's not going to happen.
And no one gives a shit about Connecticut anyway, besides Linda McMahon. But yeah, so
I should have watched it, so.
And you would have followed the live blog along with Brad Woodling and myself. And you were in and out where the Wi-Fi allowed you.
Yeah.
I was at Picasso's, my first time there since TLC 2011.
Wow.
Right back in the saddles, like riding a bike. Had Andy with me and my buddy Roger, Verge Boy, to Picasso's. He had a great time. So all of that recap, you can read what was going on both in the bar and on the show in the live blog. You can go right to placetobenation.com. It's still on the front page there. And you can relive the whole show.
And you were splitting attention between the Staples Center and then 3,000 miles across the country at Fenway, where there was a fucking ridiculous shit show going on in that game, too.
It was a tough night. I was very divided between doing the live blog, watching the show, and then following that maniacal game that was going on between the Red Sox and Yankees. So
a disaster, huh?
Yeah, we had that on the little TV at our table, and we had the SummerSlam, of course, up on the big ones.
They kicked the bear, though. They poked the bear in the eye last night. It might have been a bad move.
They poked the bear in the arm of the needle, so.
Yeah, that was you, not me. But anyway, that was a good win for you guys after. But, I mean, after a while, for those who don't know, the whole Brian Dempster throwing. How many did he throw at him? Or attempt
four.
To throw
well, it took him four attempts because he sucks. But
that was like the time that, that was his name, that lefty for the Mets, tried to hit Clemens and he missed him in the ass or something, whatever that fucking loser's name was. But, yeah, and he just kept trying and kept trying. I don't know what his whole game scheme was. I can't believe John Farrell actually allowed that. That was bizarre.
I can't believe the ump didn't throw him. Four Yankees were hit last night. Both teams got warned, and somehow only Joe Girardi got thrown out. I still don't understand how this happened. But we're not going to drone out about that tonight. If you want to read about that, you can see Return of the Hack today.
Yes.
Talked about instant replay, my qualms with that, as well as the whole kerfluffle with Ryan Dempster and A-Rod, and also talked a little bit about John Lackey, Brian Cashman, the Dodgers, Mickey Cabrera, talked a little bit of the Tigers. So a little potpourri edition of Return of the Hack today.
No, great, great column. I definitely recommend checking it out. Very good.
All right. SummerSlam, Scott. So
okay.
We had the Access pre-show. Maria Menounos, my girl, teams with Natalya to defeat Brie Bella and Eva Marie.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the pre-show on YouTube, RVD defeated Dean Ambrose by DQ when the Shield got involved. It's a little weird because the Shield came in and then Big Show and Mark Henry came down and we got like a commercial break, came back and it was still, I thought they were going to transition to like a six man or something. But instead we just stuck with the singles match and then finally the Shield interfered, caused the DQ at 13:38. So Ambrose retains, but RVD gets the win. And I'm guessing they're either building to singles matches again at the next pay-per-view. Maybe RVD gets the shot again. And then a tag match, or do you think they may do some kind of six-man with all the belts are on the line or something like that?
Wouldn't surprise me if they come up with something like that. That's usually their modus operandi when it comes to the secondary belts, kind of throw them all together in one match. I think it's a crime. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if, well, obviously, as we're taping, Raw is going on right now. I wouldn't be surprised if they rematch tonight, RVD and Ambrose.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if tonight was a six-man without the titles on the line, and then they shelter off into the...
I would not be surprised either. Something's going to come from that. Match itself was pretty good, yeah. As you would expect. I was getting a little nostalgic last night, JR. I liked seeing the countdown on the bottom right of the screen. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool. It's kicking it old school there. I like that. Again, we go back. Is Big Show... Big Show should be 100% healthy. Does he seem 100% healthy? Seems like it, right?
Yeah, he seems to be moving well. He had slimmed down. Mm. I'm a little afraid we're going to see Show and Henry take the tag titles if they do face off. But
well, they are a Haas team, JR, right in our wheelhouse.
But there may be something else up with the Shield that I want to talk about when we get to the end of the show.
Interesting. Okay.
So.
Okay.
But yes, so RVD wins, Ambrose retains, and I'm guessing we'll definitely get a rematch at some point where Ambrose goes over clean, I would think. So then we open the show. I liked the video. It was kind of like that little 70s funk motif going on.
Love it.
Almost like an old cop show or something, like Starsky and Hutch or Chips or something.
Yes.
It was kind of neat. And the opening match, one we're looking forward to character-wise, a little unsure how they'd mesh in the ring, and not good. But that was Bray Wyatt against Kane in the Ring of Fire match. Bray Wyatt would win the match, 7:49. But these guys just did not really mix well. Match was very sloppy. To me, the highlight was the antics of Rowan and Harper at ringside, as they were kind of stooging a little bit early and then trying to figure out how to circumvent the fire and come in and help Bray. But when it was just Bray and Kane in there, I thought it was really ugly.
Well, we've said it. I've said it a few times here on our show, JR, on the vaults. I think the Inferno / Ring of Fire gimmick is terrible. It's a lousy concept. Not really for danger purposes, because those guys know what's going on. But well, it's a catch-22. You're trying to pump up the fire, so you're almost booking the match to make sure that you get fire moments, and that's not smart. I think if we had just them go at it in a straight up match, I think the match would have been a lot better without them having to worry about and the whole booking of Roman and Piper, Roman Piper sounds like I got a WCF jobber. If Rowan and Harper were too busy fucking around with the thing and sticking the blanket on it and the set, I thought it was a funny part when the kendo stick caught on fire.
Yes,
I thought that was pretty funny.
I thought they looked smart too when they put the tarp down.
Yeah,
and I climbed in. So that was the highlight of the match, was their stuff.
Exactly, and that's okay. However, is that what they were booking with? And then and Bray and Kane were just kind of fartsing around in the ring, waiting for them to put the tarp over the thing.
It's no,
what
it like. I think they were trying.
I'm not saying they weren't trying, but
they just didn't seem to really get connected. That's all.
No, they didn't. And I think, but I don't think they're two guys that could never be connected. I think if you give them just a straight up match, I think you'll see a better performance. I don't want Bray getting shafted by both the fans and the bookers because that match looked bad. I thought it was a I've thought from the beginning it was kind of a bad idea to have the Inferno concept. I think it's stupid anyway.
I was kind of okay with it because it made sense to try and keep them out and play off the Kane stuff. So, I mean, I have a feeling the match is going to be sloppy anyway. I don't think there's any way around it. I'm hoping Bray, he's strong enough and booked well enough that he'll bounce back. I'm not too worried that this is going to completely screw up his push or anything. What do you think they do with Kane? Does that go anywhere, how they walked out with him? Do you think they brainwash him and he joins them?
That'd be pretty cool. I wonder if he's grown any hair or if that's still the wig.
Well, I was thinking it'd be cool to take the mask off, yes, and just have him
be back to when he was before the mask. I don't know. I can't see Kane dressing as a hillbilly, though. I wonder if they just keep...
Well, he wouldn't have to dress like a hillbilly, but he would just kind of be brainwashed and just go with the... They got to do something. I don't think he would have... I really don't think he would have dragged him out like that if it's not going somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so either. Obviously, they won the match, so obviously they, the Wyatts were getting the upper hand and something was going to advance for them. So we'll see. I don't mind seeing a little faction grow. I don't think that would hurt. But yeah, I still would like to think that in a straight up match, they'd look a little better. I'm not saying, as good as a match we saw a couple of matches later on in the night, but at least something not as slapped together. But maybe. But again, I'm not expecting miracles. But I think the fire part of it did kind of hinder them. Hmm. Work rate wise, but psychologically, again, with Rowan and Harper, I think that was the hook of the match anyway. So it was all right for what it was, but yeah. It wasn't as good as people were.
Well, Bray stayed strong, and that's the key. So
yep.
Well, actually, do you think that just really quick? Do you think it made him look weak to have only be able to win when they really triple teamed Kane?
No, I think that's the whole premise. I think that's their whole premise.
Okay,
he'll get stronger as time progresses, and they book matches differently. But
right.
I think
he is built as more of just a psychotic mastermind.
Yeah, exactly. So. And Rowan and Harper doing all the heavy lifting. I think that's the whole premise anyway. Right, it'll change over time. I think it'll change over time.
All right, so our second match was a battle between former friends, Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow. Of course, the Money in the Bank briefcase was not on the line, but that pretty much is what the feud centered around. Match only goes 6:40, but it felt longer in a good way. I liked this match a lot. I thought both guys worked really hard. You know, it was like a good, maybe 3-star match, and Cody got the win clean. You know, we debated this one quite a bit on the headline show, and I don't remember if I ended up picking Cody or not. I know I picked a couple faces. Did I take him? I don't remember.
I think you did. I know I took Sandow. I mean, I didn't want to talk about picks.
No.
Fucking disaster.
But Cody wins clean, and I thought he needed the win. Sandow, to me, could whatever. He can. You know, I think I did take Cody, because I remember you arguing that, well, if they're going to be legit with Sandow, he needs to win here. But I mean...
Well, now, clearly, I was wrong.
So, Cody wins. Cody, what did you think of him as a face, though? Like, did you think it's working? I mean, he got really good reaction.
Yeah, I think he did, too. Clearly, but this is where I'm a little angry. They've made Sandow into a complete putz since winning the Money in the Bank.
Well, you could argue it was kind of a putz before. I mean, don't forget, he dropped to Sheamus 17 weeks in a row before.
Yeah. So the question is then, what was the point of him winning the briefcase then?
To
ignite this feud? Was the briefcase really needed to ignite this feud?
Well, I think we can start looking at the briefcase differently now, Scott. I think it's more... I think they're trying to make it where not everybody is always going to cash in and win. So I think it's, you know, maybe you put a guy over a little bit, wins it, gets a little push, but he may not cash in. I think that's just what they're looking to maybe do now. Instead of always guaranteeing that everyone who wins is being launched to world champion status.
Well, exactly. But even less so, I feel like... I mean, it's one thing not to always cash in. I get that. But this is different. This is like some gimmicky mid-card guy who hadn't been doing anything out of the blue wins the briefcase. And does it devalue the briefcase itself? I'm not saying... I agree with you. I'm not saying that the winner has to win all the time, but to at least still let it be legit. Now it just seems like it's a... I do like the thing of him getting his own briefcase and the leather. I thought that was pretty cool. But
you can rehab guys so quick. I mean, I'm not too worried about it. He can get hot from December to February if they want and have him pick up some big wins. And nowadays, the way they book shit, I mean, it should matter. Wins and losses of shit, but it doesn't. So it doesn't. And
how long does he hold it? How long do we see it?
I really don't know. I don't know if they even know.
They probably don't know. To be honest with you, they probably don't know.
It's going to be for a while. I mean, unless, you know, Del Rio loses at some point. I can't see Sandow cashing on him.
Right. No, I don't see that either. You think last night's match should have been for the briefcase? And just giving it to Cody?
No. No, I think that even cheapens the briefcase more if you start putting on the line all the time.
Okay. Match was great. Match was good. I like the chemistry.
I would like to see maybe Sandow would win the title someday, and Cody has a claim to face him. You know, then you have a little title feud. Who knows?
Yeah, that would work.
So, all right. So that was that match. Cody wins, and yes, I did take him. So,
okay.
Alberto Del Rio defended his World Heavyweight Championship against Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Retains at 12:29. I like this match a lot. I liked the you know, one of the beefs Chad had with it. Was that he felt it was too much back and forth. But that's kind of what I liked about it, because they're both kind of evenly matched, and I like that neither guy could really carry that momentum or pick up a long heat segment. I liked the back and forth of it. And, of course, they kept attacking Christian's his arm, and every chance he got, Del Rio go for the arm bar or the arm breaker, and at the end, finally, Christian hit the spear but couldn't capitalize. I thought maybe that was one of the only down points, was that it took him so long to, like, He sat there for a while holding his forearm after the spear. I mean, it was great selling, but it was a little bit too long.
Mm-hmm.
Del Rio had the black eye and bruised ear from a legit hotel fight he got in the night before. Him and Drew McIntyre got into a bar brawl with a few guys. Mm-hmm. So that's where that shiner came from. But yep. I thought it was a good win for Del Rio. Clean win again, 12 and a half minutes. I really liked the closing moments. And I thought both guys looked strong. I thought this was a really good match. I mean, at first we were curious why they put Christian instead of RVD in here, but it ended up being a very good match.
Yeah, I wonder if Del Rio broke his nose too, because he seemed like he wasn't breathing very well or even talking well after the match. Mm. So I wonder if he broke his nose too. But kudos to Drew McIntyre though, saved him. I mean, here's a guy who's in the lower mid card who could probably give two shits about the main event guys and be angry, and he helped his fellow colleague. So. Mm-hmm. Kudos to him for that. But with Christian, you know you're not going to get a lousy match.
Right.
And I have to disagree. I agree with you, and I have to disagree with Chad a little bit. Back and forth matches are kind of needed for two guys that are kind of evenly sized. I don't want to totally use the whole Federation era philosophy of a bigger guy needs to eat up 7 minutes of beatdown time. But I don't find it as believable when it's too evenly matched singles guys, particularly since Christian beat them twice, or beat them once and I think pinned him in a tag or something like that. And so I don't think a long heat segment, I don't think it would have worked well. Del Rio doesn't wrestle like that. I've watched Del Rio plenty of times on SmackDown, and obviously we watched him on Raw too. That's not how Del Rio operates. He's one who gets a couple minutes in and then you know, his arrogance gets in the way and he misses a move and then kind of gets back into it with a little cheating. That's how Del Rio is. That's his game plan. I don't think he should ever sway from that game plan, and he didn't last night. Christian's the kind of guy who, yeah, he can take a good beat down, a good face in peril, but when you're dealing with a guy like Del Rio who is about evenly sized, evenly worked, you know, talent-wise, I don't think long heat segments work in that situation. So there's other situations on last night where I agree with Chad that a situation like that would have worked, but not in this case.
And I like Del Rio's heel work too.
Yeah.
I like his targeted offense. He always has a plan, which I like a lot. He always seems to be working something in, and it usually does pay off. I think he's a smart heel worker, better than a face. So, I liked it a lot. I like him as champion in this heel role, and I hope it stays like this for a little bit longer. And I'm guessing there's a guy who we'll get to in a little bit that hopefully gets back in the picture. So
yeah, exactly.
Alberto Del Rio, still your world heavyweight champion in a very good match. To me, this was off the bat. Now, we started off kind of shaky, but now we're two for two off of that.
Yes. Yep. I agree.
I thought that actually carried over here, Scott, as Natalya, working her second match of the weekend, I guess, after the Access pre-show, defeated Brie Bella by submission in 4:19 with the sharpshooter. Funkadactyls were with Natalya. Eva Marie and Nikki were with Brie. This was way better than it had probably any right to be. I mean, you know, Natalya's good, obviously, but who knew what Brie could do? And I thought they worked well. I thought they worked hard. I thought they put out a good match. They could have coasted on the Total Divas angle, but I thought they really put the effort in to make it a watchable match and a different style than the Divas usually work. And I enjoyed it. I thought this was another check mark on the positive side for what could have been a disaster was still pretty good.
I don't give many compliments to the Bellas, but I will give Brie credit where credit is due. She sold well in this match. She put on a decent showing in terms of offense. I mean, Natalya's a good worker, so that didn't hurt. But I'll give the Bellas, who I don't hardly ever give any credit to, at least they worked their heel kind of snotty bitch shtick well.
They do work it well.
Yeah, they do work it well.
I honestly always thought they got a little bit of a bad rap. I'm not saying they were very good back then, but I think they've improved. And, you know, they're dating, basically living with two of the best talents in the promotion that get the business. So it doesn't hurt, I'm sure. But they've improved. We've seen Divas improve. Mm-hmm. It's possible. Look at Trish Stratus. She improved greatly. You know, Maria, she was awful when she started, and now she's one of the best females in the business.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's definitely possible for them to improve as the years go on, and I think they have. I think they get it a little bit better, and they may never be, you know, marvels in the ring, but I think they'll be serviceable enough to be good heels like they are, both on the show and here on this evening. So
yeah, yeah. No, it was fine. It was surprisingly good. If you gave it a 2, that's like giving other matches 4.5.
Yeah, no, it was, so, I enjoyed it. I mean, yeah. It was fine. It's not that I'm clamoring to go
find it at
go back and watch, but
2 years. No, maybe it'll be an extra on the Total Divas Season 1 box set. Who knows? We'll let Ben and Jen work that out. But, yeah, it was fine. It was fine for what it was.
Okay. So, next was one of the two big matches on the night, obviously, and that was Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk. Hype was big. Punk was the overwhelming favorite at the bar. Just the place was going absurd, absurd when he came out. And 25 minutes long, no DQ match, Paul Heyman at ringside. And this thing was just a war. These guys beat the shit out of each other. Well-booked, well-structured, tons of teases, tons of near falls. And I knew they were going a long way because we were about, like, 18 minutes in, and Heyman hadn't even gotten involved yet. And I'm like, we still have all the Heyman stuff, you know, that you know they're going to do. Mm. And then he got heavily involved. The only, if I had to give it any negative, I thought Punk looked a little dumb at the end, locking the Anaconda on Paul. That's kind of out of character for him. He's not a guy that usually does stuff like that. But in the defense, it's been really well built, the hatred between Punk and Heyman, that it was believable that Punk would turn away from Brock to go murder Paul. Like, that's all this was about. So on that regard, I can't ding it. It doesn't take... To me, it was a 5-star matchup. I'm just throwing out maybe one of the slight negatives that I found. But I think it was built well enough that you can overlook it. So to me, it was still a 5-star affair.
I think a lot of people thought that this match was going to be laid out a little differently than it was. In fact, talking to our friend John, he told me that he was expecting like a 10-12 minute heat segment for Brock. Like, he was the bigger guy, they're going to take advantage of the size, and Punk was just going to take a shit-kicking for 12 minutes.
Right.
I'm glad they didn't do that. I respectfully, and I don't disagree with John on a lot of stuff, but I said, nah, I don't think so, John. I think Punk is just good. Punk, in Punk's eyes, and this is where the end of the match doesn't bother me as much as maybe slightly bothers you. In Punk's eyes,
Brock didn't really bother me. I'm just saying, if I had to find any negative.
True. Here's my kind of, my logic behind it. In Punk's eyes, based on the storyline, Brock was nothing more than an obstacle.
Right. Yep.
To get to Paul.
Yep.
It was all about getting Paul.
Yeah.
Paul's the one that hit him with the ladder at Money in the Bank. Paul's the one that fucked him out of the briefcase.
Yep.
And Paul's the one that turned on him, his best friend. Brock is just an obstacle.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So it was just, let me just get this guy out of the way, and then your fat ass is mine.
Right.
That's pretty much the philosophy.
Yeah, so I get it. I'm with you. 100%.
The match was epic.
Yes.
No two guys, say what you want about Brock. Dr. G, not a big Brock fan. A lot of guys aren't Brock fans.
I am.
But just like the Ultimate Warrior, who a lot of people weren't fans of, on the big stage, the guy delivers. Pure and simple.
That might be the only time he's ever compared to the Ultimate Warrior, but...
That's true.
Yes, he does deliver. And you know he will deliver. And you knew Punk always delivers. So to me, this was a rare occasion. And remember, we talked about the hype. And we said, is this going to be like perfect? And Shawn at SummerSlam 93, is the hype too strong? No, they didn't care about the hype. They delivered a war. And then some of those near falls at the end. The one where Paul broke it up after the go to sleep was just awesome.
That came out of left field.
Yeah, I thought that was it.
I thought Punk was winning right there.
Yeah, so, I mean, I thought all along Brock was going to win, but at that one moment, they suckered me in. And it was great. There's not much wrong you can say about it. It's an instant classic. My question to you, Scott, where do you rank it with Cena, Brock Lesnar, from Extreme Rules a year ago?
It's pretty close. I know you have a great love for that match, as do I. I would have to put this a scoosh higher. Just a little bit.
I got to watch them again together.
Yeah,
but
just a scoosh higher.
They're different matches. Cena Brock was more like a fucking street fight where they were just punching the shit out of each other.
Yeah,
this was more weapons and more brawling,
and a lot more backstory to it as well.
Yeah, I thought this was going to have actually more of a map based stuff, but they really got right into the garbage early.
Yeah,
which was fine with me. It was well worked. So, and I mean, they're both 5-stars. So, Cena Brock was my match of the year last year. So
right, yeah.
And this may be this year's.
Where does that match sit in the pantheon of Warrior Rude, you know, Taker Steve?
For SummerSlam matches?
Yeah.
Well, it's at the top. I mean, I've never given Steve Taker a 5. I haven't given Warrior Rude 5.
Did you give Shawn Triple H from 0205?
I don't know. I have to go back.
That match is a lot. Let me tell you something. From every possible perspective, that match is a lot. Those two matches, the last night and that one, very similar in a lot of structuring. Obviously, you're dealing with four different kinds of guys. Well, obviously, Triple H and Brock are different kind of guys, and Shawn and Punk are similar, but not exact. And they're very close from storyline to, you know, two best friends stabs the other in the back.
Man, I got to watch them both again, but I think I liked this better off my instant reaction of it.
I can't rank it yet.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It's awesome.
I got to see it again.
Yeah, it's awesome. Top five.
This is to
Favorite me. Top five, who knows?
I don't buy many DVDs, but to me, this is one I'll get this one.
Yeah, I mean, you know me. I'll buy them all eventually. Yeah. I usually buy them chronologically. This one, I may just have to go out of order.
I'll get the Blu-ray of this when it comes out. Yeah. You gave Sean Triple H a 5. I gave it a 4.5.
Okay.
Well, I thought that was a little bit too much. Remember with the tape? I thought they went overboard a little bit.
Well, I remember you had an issue because you thought they were trying to upstage Brock and Rock later on. So you got a little, I remember we talked.
I thought it was a bit long and they went a bit too. I was nitpicking. I mean, we don't give quarter stars. I probably would have went like 4.75 if we were doing quarter stars.
But, right.
This may have been the best SummerSlam match of all time.
It's pretty close.
I gave Brett Bulldog did I give that a 5? I don't know, actually.
I think this match is better than Brett Bulldog.
You think so?
Yeah.
Probably.
I do.
You know Chad thinks so. The whole fucking world knows Chad thinks so.
I'll tell you something. If you hadn't had a chance to listen to our pre-SummerSlam roundtable last week, that match got a lot of love from everybody.
Yeah. I gave that a 4.5.
So.
This may be it.
I think this match is better than that. So. Epic. From two guys who get it.
And Scott, there was a match that you could maybe say was just as good coming up in a minute.
Yes.
So now the unenviable. Oh, where do you quickly? Where do you go with Punk? And do we get a rematch at some point?
Where do we go with Punk?
Do you think he fuses with Axel?
Do we get a rematch? Absolutely. Oh yeah.
When do you think though? I hope they don't do Mania again.
No, I think it's going to be. Well, we'll talk about Punk's Mania future in a little bit, but. Survivor Series.
Well, remember we talked about this. So that Brock.
Brock has
out of matches.
Yeah, he's got four. He's only got two. We'll discount the two WrestleManias because apparently he's slotted for next year's WrestleMania 31 too.
Right, so but 30, I thought it was 30, three pay-per-view matches, and he's already had two of them. And Mania would be three. That's what I've read.
Oh, I know he's, but I think he's slotted for next year's Mania too, 31, which doesn't really matter.
Right, he signed a 2-year deal, but I'm pretty sure it was three matches from Mania to Mania.
What the fuck do they do? I don't know.
I mean, maybe they pay him and ask him to fight. I mean, if they do it, I think it should be Survivor Series. And I think they should do it like in a cage or something.
And then Punk gets it back.
Yeah.
And then we finish that feud off.
Yeah.
Because Punk's going to have other things to worry about.
Yeah. I'd hope they don't carry it to Mania. I mean, it'd be an awesome match again, I'm sure. But we saw that last year. Punk, I think, maybe feuds with Axel. Maybe Heyman brings in somebody else. And then he has a match with Heyman at some point, I think.
Mm.
Whether it's on pay-per-view or Raw. I think he'll finally get his hands on Heyman at some point in the fall. Maybe Survivor Series we get that. Maybe Heyman's in a cage and he gets his hands on him.
Kick a little old school, like the cage, the Cornette cage hanging above the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I think Paul Lee had that situation back in Dangerous Alliance days, probably.
All right.
Crockett loved the cage hanging above the ring. So.
We all know who's in the cage above your ring.
Shortly.
Okay, so... Next up, the match that nobody should have to be in a position to follow after they follow that match.
I know.
But these guys did a very admirable job. That was Dolph Ziggler and Caitlyn taking out Big E Langston and AJ Lee. I thought they, in a match where they could have easily mailed it in and lost the crowd, I'll give credit all around. I thought all four of them busted their ass, especially Dolph, bumping like a fucking madman all around the ring in this kind of meaningless match and a meaningless spot. And the L.A. crowd, as much as we give them a lot of guff, Scott, they stayed hot for this match. I don't know how they did it after a 25-minute war with Punk and Brock to stay hot for this 6-minute match. But they were into it. So kudos to them, and kudos to these four. Dolph, the win that we said he needed, he got.
Yep. And let's be honest, the crowd didn't get off to a great start. They were pretty dead during the Bray-Kane match and kind of the beginning of the second match, but then But midway through Cody and Damian, the crowd kind of picked up a bit, and then they're off to the races. So I'll give them credit for that. You don't give many credit to Cali crowds, but last night after...
Well, and I don't blame them for being dead during Brock and Kane. I mean, it was kind of hard to see. The match was kind of blah. I mean... I'm sorry, Bray and Kane. Yeah, yeah. I don't fault them for that.
Brock and Kane have never wrestled. No, never mind.
Maybe we'll get that at Mania.
Oh God.
So Dolph, I think they need to strike him back up. I think.
Yeah.
He needs, but actually, I want to talk about him at the end because I there's something that I think they could do based on shit that's going on. So we'll get back to him.
Okay.
All right. Up next, the match. Also, everyone is looking forward to Daniel Bryan challenging John Cena for the WWE Championship. Triple H is the referee, 27 minutes long. These guys go, and this was a fucking classic, instant classic. We got the brawl earlier, and this was just a pure just work rate match. And Cena hung with him every step of the way like he knew he would. Always turns it up. Bum elbow and all. He went 27 minutes with Bryan. Some phenomenal spots.
Mm-hmm.
Both guys worked their asses off. Daniel Bryan defeats Cena clean with a running knee to the face.
Yeah, that was fucking nuts.
He crushed him. I thought that was a fantastic ending.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the match was great. We'll get to the aftermath in a minute, but what did you think of the match itself?
Oh, it was incredible. Best match John Cena's ever had in his life.
Better than the RVD at Extreme Rules?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Better than the Shawn Michaels 1 hour?
Yes. Better, oh, yeah.
I think so, too. Better than the Punk match earlier this year?
Yeah.
Better than Punk at Money in the Bank?
I got to watch it again.
I think this is better because that was carried a lot by the crowd. It was a great match. I guess this had the crowd behind it too, but these guys just... Bryan's a star. You say what you want about it. Him standing with the title, the crowd all going yes, regardless of what was to come.
The streamers, the confetti.
You know, how many people... Sit here and tell me, Scott. How many people on pay-per-view have defeated John Cena clean?
Oh, well...
Yeah, since he's become a
yeah,
star.
I was about to say. I mean, obviously, let's qualify you know. Since WrestleMania 21.
Yeah. I mean, Triple H beat him on that one night of champions.
Mm-hmm. RVD didn't beat him clean.
Did Batista beat him, or did he beat Batista
at SummerSlam? Yeah, didn't Batista beat him at SummerSlam 08? That was clean, right? Yeah, that was clean. I think.
Did he? Beat
yeah, because he hadn't turned heel yet. That was 2 years before. Or a year and a half before he turned heel. Because he didn't turn heel until the fall of 09.
Right. Cena yeah, that was clean. Mania.
Yeah, that was clean.
Yeah, Batista won in 14 minutes.
Yeah, that was clean.
All right, so we're talking some heady categories here. You know,
yeah,
so
we're talking about Triple H, we're not talking about chopped liver.
Yeah, you know? Rock, Triple H, and Batista are pretty much the only guys that have beaten him in 8 years on pay-per-view. And Punk beat him clean.
Yeah.
Obviously, Money in the Bank. And was did he get pinned at 24?
Yes. Orton pinned him, not Triple H.
Right. So that was still whatever. If you want to count Orton.
Triple threats don't count. There's
but even if you want to count it, we're still talking lofty. We're talking Orton. Punk. We're talking like the mega stars.
Yeah. We're not saying upsets,
of WWE. We're talking Orton. We're talking Punk. We're talking The Rock. We're talking Triple H and Batista. I mean, those are well-protected, well-booked mega stars.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan's now in that category.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those guys beat Cena for a title clean?
None.
Punk,
that was it.
And Orton, if you want to count it.
Yeah.
It was Triple H, that was not for the title, right? And United Champions 08? It was Triple H champion?
Yeah, Cena was the challenger.
Okay, so you had that one. What was the other one we said? Rock, that was...
Rocket at 29. Right. 28.
Not for the title.
Not for the title. RVD wasn't clean.
Right, RVD. No, I don't count RVD.
Yeah, that's right. That's about it.
Yeah, so that's it. So now he's the third guy to beat Cena clean for a world title on pay-per-view. And this was as clean. This was as clean as you get, clean as a sheet.
Yeah, he cleaned his clock.
Yeah, so well done. I mean, he kicked out of the FU, survived the SDFU, and survived the attitude adjustment in the SDF. Mm-hmm. just a great showing. I mean, anyone who thinks, you know, what was to come buried Daniel Bryan needs their head examined because you can't. I mean, he's a star. He's a made star. He defeated the... this is like beating Hogan, you know, in like 91, 92, clean on pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. And kudos to Cena because his elbow looks like fucking Play-Doh.
Yeah, I mean, he's out.
Mangled, and you can see it through the pad.
Yeah, and he pretty much said tonight, I missed the very gist of what he said, but from what I'm reading, I think he pretty much said he's going to be gone for a while. So,
and they said that unlike in the past when he's gotten hurt and he's like sprinted through his recovery,
right?
Like he did when he came back for the 08 Rumble, he's been told, don't do that this time. No. We're fine. We've got plenty to work with now.
Well, right now they do, yeah. With Punk and the elevation of Brian and this whole new stuff going on with the world title, and then he's, you know, so Sheamus is out for a while, I guess, but SmackDown's a little light. But I think they do have the stars right now that they can survive without Cena for a bit. Okay, so after the match, Daniel Bryan celebrating for an eternity to the point where you're thinking it's over.
Yep.
And then the voices hits. Out comes Randy Orton, stalks to the ring with his briefcase, stands there. Bryan's calling him into the ring. Orton turns to walk away. So you figure, okay, they're just doing the Owen Hart tease at WrestleMania 10. You know, they're going to set up the next, you know, set up a storyline with Orton continuously teasing Bryan the challenge. And then the King of Kings sneaks in from behind, drops Daniel Bryan with a pedigree. Randy Orton comes in, cashes in his title shot, and wins the WWE Championship, ending Daniel Bryan's reign. I was fine with this. You know, part of me wanted Bryan to just run with it. He had become a star. Let him have his moment. I thought the tease and the delay was fucking brilliant. It was something everyone was waiting for, but they waited just long enough that you gave up on it, and then they did it. So I thought it was great because they could have done it immediately and really fucked it up. But the camera shot was perfect, that long, wide shot where you could barely even see Triple H unless you were looking for it. You had no idea what was going on. And I thought it was really smoothly worked. I thought it was great. I think this is going to make Orton a mega heel. I think aligning him with a heel Triple H and Vince was very smart as well. We're going to kind of have a new corporate faction, I think, here. What did you think of that? And then I want to get to my storyline idea. Well, I know what you thought about it.
You know what's kind of sad is, if my other favorite guy in the history of the universe, Ric Flair, hadn't stuck his head up his ass during the whole video game thing, rumors are he was supposed to come out last night, and then my ultimate trouser dream would have come true, and that's, of course, everyone thinking there is a reformation of Evolution. And I even said it in our live blog last night. I even teased Daniel Bryan. Looks like Evolution has passed you by.
And I think I think Orton's a perfect corporate heel champion.
Oh, of course he is. Of course he is. Here's the reason. First off, the end was awesome. And the delay.
Yes.
I got thrown off when Orton walked away.
Right.
I'm like, all right, well, you got to stick Orton's head out there. You know he's there. Orton, you know, Brian's going to have his keep looking over his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And I was about to get up and go in the kitchen. We usually, you know, chit-chat in the kitchen, and then I usually go home. And then all of a sudden he stopped, and then I'm like, And then Triple H is moving in the ring. And actually, halfway through the match, I'm like, why is Triple H wearing his boots?
Right.
He never wears his boots. It's weird for reffing. And then the pedigree. And he looked angry. Like,
yeah.
He had that 2000 look in his face. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
And he drilled him. And I think what made it better is that Orton didn't even bother doing a move.
Right.
He just laid on top of Bryan. So he looks like the bigger puss bag than Triple H does.
Do you think let me just ask you this. Do you think they wasted Bryan's title run? Like, do you think they should have done the Cena thing?
No.
No, I thought this was fine, too.
No. Look, here's a problem, and I read a lot of things about it. You were talking about, you and I were chatting, we were talking with Chad and Brad. Today, Daniel Bryan comes out, he's champion, everything's great, everything's dandy. Who's he facing Night of Champions?
Yeah.
Cena? Gone. Ryback? Who cares? Orton? No. So we would have had an Ultimate Warrior 1990.
Yeah.
Great, sentimental, outstanding victory, and then what? And then 8 months of six-man tags, you know? Now you've got yourself ready-made heels. And look, Steve Austin did it. The Rock did it. The best faces are the ones chasing. And for those that are like, oh, I got fucked up, that you obviously have the attention span of a 6-year-old.
There's no way you can look at that match. If you've been a wrestling fan, you know how the business works. I don't know how you can look at that and think that Brian's not, you know, he was better. Now, look, if you want to say they may have missed their window and Brian was never going to be hotter and maybe he's going to cool like they did with Dolph, I can see where you're coming from.
The difference is
I think he's different than Dolph. He's way more over than Dolph was.
Right. And Dolph was off camera for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
That's what fucked him over.
Yeah.
That's what screwed him.
Brian is on another level right now.
Yeah, he is. And now he's even hotter.
Yes, I agree. And when you see what goes down tonight to open the show, they're clearly not – they're not de-pushing this guy. So.
And the other thing is I'm very happy that we've all – and this isn't because I'm a fan of his. When push comes to shove, a lot of it's kayfabe because it's fun to goof with each other. But when it comes to brass tacks, I'm very happy that the 2003-2004 Triple H haters aren't coming out and acting like assholes. Mm. There's very little of that right now.
Well, heel Triple H is better, and I think it was needed.
It's not like he won the belt.
And now it looks like maybe we're going to get what those rumors were saying. Man, we were wondering how they were going to pull it off, and I think we get what we talked about, where him and Vince are together for a while, and eventually him and Stephanie may push Vince out of the way, and that turns Vince's face, and maybe he does turn, you know, to Austin, or maybe he aligns with who knows where they go. Did you notice what Triple H was wearing besides the boots? Did his pants and boots combo look like anybody else on the roster, Scott?
Pants and boots combo. Well, he had dark pants, and he had the pants like hiked up too.
Look a little bit like the Shield, maybe. Probably nothing, but I saw it out there. Thought it was kind of cool. All right, let me run this by you. So Dolph Ziggler.
Like they did that. Dolph, as if there's another one.
Dolph Ziggler goes out today and gives another scathing interview, ripping the company, right? He says that Brian got hosed by the machine, blah, blah, blah. He's done this a couple times now in the last few weeks, kind of gone out and bitched. Kind of weird for a guy they're still pushing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a guy that's clearly got talent that they like. For him to be openly bashing the company.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly the machine. Seems like he's got something in common with Daniel Bryan. So I'm picturing maybe a little bit of a monopoly at the top with the corporate champs. And guys like Dolph and Bryan start to band together maybe a little bit. That's what I'm picturing going on.
You think Del Rio kind of aligns with this crew?
I do.
He fits right in. Rich. You know? Polished.
I think we see something like that. And then also tonight on Raw, and I know you like to go in fresh, but I'm going to just give you this little spoiler.
Okay.
The Shield just now fought Dolph. I couldn't really follow. It looked like a 3-on-1, and they beat the shit out of him and left him laying. So maybe the Shield does become aligned. Maybe we find out that it was Triple H that brought the Shield in. So they never touched him, right?
They surrounded him once.
Right. They never touched him.
But Brian... somebody remember it was the night after Extreme Rules.
I don't remember.
It was the night after one of the losses. Well, it could have been the night after SummerSlam last year because they weren't here. I think it was the night after Extreme Rules. It might have been the night after. No, it wasn't the night after Mania because I was with Taker. It might have been the night after Extreme Rules. He was going to come out and say something, and then they surrounded him once, but they never touched him.
Right. So they never touched the guy. He's wearing their pants, and now they're assaulting the guy who ran his mouth against the company. They beat the shit out of him tonight. So, maybe we're reading too much into it, but who knows? Maybe there's something there.
Do we hear the music again? Do we hear Motorhead again?
Well, I don't know what you mean.
Sure well, do we hear... Well, I can't see... That doesn't narrow it down. Do we hear the group Motorhead song again?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, eventually... I mean, Batista's not coming back anytime soon, but it would be cool
we don't
to
want
get him.
He's past that now.
Well, I'd like him back.
Remember, there were 80 different horsemen, so...
I mean, they don't need him, I'm just saying. Well, Flair got in trouble. He just showed up drunk to the video game.
Is that the official thing? Yeah. I read something today. I was talking with Lumpy Rotellis, and I know it was something about him when they were announcing the roster, which, by the way, is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That 2K14.
Well, Hogan Warrior.
And he showed up like, yo, apparently he hijacked it.
Yeah,
made
he
it
showed
all
up
about himself. So hearing that, I even said it to Matt. I said he was probably trashed.
Yeah, so that's the story. So they're pissed at him, apparently. So who knows now if he was supposed to be part of this faction or not. But
he said he was supposed to come out last night, so.
Well, we'll see where it goes. We'll let it play out there. But a great SummerSlam, easily one of the best ever. I mean, two basic five-star matches, just about.
Best in 11 years?
I need to watch Brian Cena again, but I'm pretty open to going five on that.
I got to watch it again. Yeah. I got to watch both those again.
It's the best since 02, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Best one in
easily.
11 years.
Yeah. So, great show. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Find it some way, however you can. And watch and enjoy. It was a
I wonder
show.
If and any Optimum subscribers, I wonder if I haven't talked to anybody, but I wonder if anybody's getting a freebie because they might have missed the first probably maybe. Hour of the show. I wonder if they got discounted and can watch the you know replay or the encores all week or whatever. Curious.
I'm sure you're curious.
I am curious because no, there's no break.
Well, not yet. It's coming. PlaceToBeNation.com, Scott. As we mentioned, the SummerSlam. Live blog if you missed that. Also today we have a new episode of Where the Big Boys Play, episode number 47. Chad and Parv break down the DVD Jim Crockett Promotions The Good Old Days documentary.
If I may say quickly, JR, our friend Johnny Reckless was talking about that that disc and I said to listen, so he listened to it. So very excited. It's getting around that DVD, but Chad and Parv
did he stream via PlaceToBeNation.com?
Exactly. Yep, okay. That's exactly what he did. Mm-hmm.
All right. Also, our college football preview series kicked off today, Scott. You and Chad collaborated six-pack on the biggest college football stories to come here in 2013. Yep. That kicks off your coverage that will continue here over the next couple of weeks. You guys are going to have conference-by-conference previews.
Yes.
Great staff put in place for this, so we'll cover those over the next couple of weeks. Return of the Hack, as we talked about earlier, instant replay and
great
the
job.
Red Sox-Yankees issues. NFL season preview, day four. Now, this is a big one today, Scott. Two major contenders here. The Arizona Cardinals and Cleveland Browns.
in what, Madden World?
Andrew Flanagan makes his PTB Nation debut here. He wrote the Cardinals piece. So that's continue. We're 4 days in. We've seen the 49ers and Ravens, Pats and Broncos, Colts and Redskins, and now the Cardinals and Browns. Jeremy Nichols with the new House of Horror covered Friday the 13th, Part 2.
Yes.
Grapple Talk Rewind covers UFC 9. Of course, Titans and Wrestling were back with their second episode. They had a little roundtable going on of their own. They covered March to June of 1979 in the WWWF, as Mr. Bob Backlund would say. UFC Fight Night, we had a live blog for that, the first card on Fox Sports, which are you digging that channel so far? I really liked it. I like the look.
I have not had a chance to sit and watch it yet, but
piece of shit. I'm supposed to be supporting the Big East, the home of the Big East.
I know. I've been home, but I'm going to start checking it out. Home. I have to check my...
fucking guy works at a TV facility, hasn't he?
I know. Well, I'm technically work for a competitor, so. Wow. But I don't think that's the case. I think Fox Sports and ESPN are going to break off into a pair, competing, and I think we as CBS Sports will still compete with NBC. Fox doesn't want to deal with CBS Sports and NBC. They want the big dog.
Yeah, no, they do. They're gunning. So. They're bringing in tons of name talent. I like the jabronis you got. Kings of Sport was back, and if you didn't catch us on Friday. Nate, Marcus, and the big nasty there did a video G-chat with the three of them talking, and they have great ringside rap interviews. Steve Austin, CM Punk, Triple H, John Cena, and more. Marcus was on site for SummerSlam in L.A. and nabbed some big interviews for them. So check those out as well. Kings of Sports you can watch the video right on PlaceToBeNation.com. And, of course, going back to last week, we have Matt Petticoat SmackDown. We have Mike Waldrop's NXT. We had plenty of stuff to go around for your pop culture needs. Lots of SummerSlam stuff. Stuff that you don't need to be, you know, we're past SummerSlam, but you can still live it. We did the five count, the top SummerSlam main events, Listomania. Steve Willey had a great piece on Darren Young coming out last week. And, of course, his main event. So lots of stuff going back to last week. So hit the archives. And we have another big week planned for you. Tons of football coverage coming. And, of course, as we near the TV season, Scott, we're going to have some fall previews as well.
Yes.
With our staff. Total Divas, watching Total Divas, should be up in the next day or so. Mm-hmm. Jen Engel and Ben Morse. Jen back on the job. If you haven't listened to Richard and the Mailman yet, we should have a new episode up in the next day or so as well. They break down each episode of Breaking Bad. This week, they're going to start working a little newsroom in as well, Scott. So episode 3, those guys are starting to gel. Obviously, they have great chemistry. They've been friends for a long time.
Yes. Yep.
And if you haven't heard them argue, it's well worth it. So, all right, there's your Place to Be Nation preview, Scott. Why don't we take a break?
Yep.
When we come back, we're going to have the two semifinal matches in the PTB 2013 trivia matchup. And then we will come back to wrap things up.
Because?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What I'd like to have right now.
Chad, do you ever feel that the world revolves around WWF?
I think you mean WWE there, Barf.
Yeah, whatever, but what about David Crockett?
She likes it!
Well, what about Jimmy Valiant?
I'm gonna get you all until I get you, Paul Jones. Oh.
The Four Horsemen.
We are a family, and we are the best.
The Omni, the Dangerous Alliance.
Please welcome the newest members of the Dangerous Alliance, Arn Anderson and Larry Zbysko.
Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express.
The Fantastics are putting the U.S. Tag Team title on the line against the Midnight Express.
Main events with actual work rate in them.
Woo! 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 All right!
It's just not fair to Flair.
It's not fair for Flair.
If this is what you're looking for, please check out Where the Big Boys Play podcast, the only pure NWA and WCW supercard podcast out there.
While you were in Hollywood making movies, Thunder Lips, I was winning world titles.
Well, there they are, our good friends Chad and Parr, Where the Big Boys Play. Now, if you want nonstop old school NWA discussion, dating back to that very first Starrcade, these guys have it covered. Even the PICs have made an appearance once. We are very particular what podcasts we visit. So check out our friends Chad and Parr, Where the Big Boys Play. Their link is right on our site, placetobenation.com. Just go into the podcast menu. There they are, the other great shows we partner with. Chad and Parr, working Where the Big Boys Play. Speaking of Place to Be Nation, that's your everyday home for your pop culture needs. At placetobenation.com, we have everything. Wrestling, sports, comics, even polls. We want your opinions as well. Every day, there's something different with our top staff of writers who are experts in all fields of pop culture. From the weekly Raw review to the return of the hack, you've got everything you need. We're also working with a myriad of great podcasts, of course, besides Chad Parr. We have Grapple Talk, the fan podcast, Off the Top Rope, Answering the 10 Count, We Found New Music, and the Kings of Sport with Nate Milton. We've got everything for your listening pleasure. So check us out every day of the week at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Now, don't forget about our good friend Graham Cawthon and the history of WWE.com. He's still the top source for all argument solvers, from match results to house show cards to pay-per-view histories. Any questions you need answered? Any debates among wrestling fans that need ending? Head over to Graham's treasure trove of information. You will certainly find it. Need to know what the opener of Starrcade 1995 was? What was the main event of that 1988 Boston Garden house show you went to when you were 11 years old? Graham can tell you. He has WWE, WCW, ECW results, and the growing results in TNA and Ring of Honor. So for all your wrestling research needs, check out Graham Cawthon at thehistoryofwwe.com. Now finally, if you want a place to just hang out, discuss all things wrestling with fellow diehard fans, check out the news and the great forums at twfnews.com. They have all the up-to-the-minute stories in WWE, TNA, and pretty much everywhere in between. They talk old school, Attitude Era, and even those hard-to-remember guys and shows like Waylon Mercy or In Your House Number 3. So check out all there is to see right on twfnews.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Bruno Lauer. I'm on The Place to Be. You're listening to The Place to Be podcast. You know why? Because it's like Mama says, it be that way sometimes.
Well, I met this lady and I told her quite a story. Said I love her forevermore. But the trouble is I tell the same old story to every girl that walks through the door. This is the slick start talking at your honey.
Got the soundtrack of our lives.
Literally. Soundtrack of the summer.
2 months of the summer for us. So here we are. The final four are upon us. A couple favorites, a couple underdogs in the mix. All fresh faces, though. None of these guys were involved in last year's final four.
Nope.
So here we go. Matchup number one. The man who has still not gotten one question wrong in this entire tournament. He was part of one of the greatest PTB trivia tournament matchups of all time. The one and only Mr. Mike Poland. How are you, Mike?
Hello, hello. I'm doing fine.
You ready to stay undefeated?
Hopefully.
Okay.
14 for 14.
Yes, and it feels so like far. 300 for 300.
Adding 1,000.
His opponents.
Cinderella.
Number 16 seed, but number one in our hearts. Actually, I'm sorry. David Krasoffi is the lifetime number 16 seed. And Clara's probably down there too. But we'll say number 14. And of course, the one and only, the great Mr. Steve Willie. Steve, how you doing?
Good. Feeling like Loyola Marymount, and I'm about to go up against UNLV.
Yes. Well, UNLV of like 1992.
You'll get the score is about as high as Loyola Marymount. So.
Steve Willie, PlaceToBeNation.com's Steve Willie, by the way.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Very excited.
So, we'll find out if you're going to go right back to your day job or if you're going to be hanging around the trivia tournament barracks a little bit longer. So we're going to go medium hard tonight. Mm-hmm. And this earns you a trip to the finals. Scott, who goes first?
Mr. Poulin, you will go first, Mike, and then Cinderella, Mr. Glass Slipper Willie, you will go second.
I prefer to refer to him as Spinderella.
Spinderella. Turn it one time. All right. Medium, hard. First to get three correct, with Willie as the home team.
Mm-hmm.
We'll move on to the championship.
And, of course, 20 seconds. Oh, wait, no. 20, 30.
20, 30.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, 20, 30, 30.
All right, Poulin.
I'll go with number one as always.
Okay. All right. 20 seconds.
All righty.
Which former AWA world champion was named commissioner of WCW in 1994?
Mr. Nick Bockwinkel.
This motherfucker doesn't need to think. Just knows everything.
Wow. All right. But you're out of the mediums now, Steve. Not the, I mean, Mike, but not the levels matter to you.
Yes.
Next question for you, Mike. What is Ken Shamrock's blood type?
Yes.
You probably would have got it, too.
That would be A and AB positive. Yes, right.
All right. Mr. Willie, as you could tell, you're in the middle of a buzzsaw here, so pick a number.
Well, my wife is trying to put my kids to bed still, so it looks like I might be helping her soon. let's go with 13.
13, okay. Okay. 20 seconds. What city did the Wrestling Classic pay-per-view emanate from?
Rosemont, Illinois, technically Chicago.
Yes! Yes!
I was going to say, you didn't get that. I'd be very upset with you.
Oh, boy. Do we have a long night
bitch and piss and moan about the Cubs and White Sox all the time.
Well, how can I?
All right, Mr. Willie. You are now in the hards. And pick a number between 1 and 202.
9.
9. Okay.
9.
Okay.
It's a tricky one.
30 seconds. Which two rappers did John Cena cut a freestyle on during Sunday Night Heat prior to WrestleMania 19?
Oh, man.
You have 30 seconds. Seems like it's more time than you think. Go ahead. Keep thinking.
This is so outside of my music comfort zone. Let's go with LL Cool J and Common.
If you're having podcast problems, I feel bad for you, son. I've got 99 problems, but Richard ain't one. I've got the podcast patrol on that Flash Patrol.
It was Jay-Z and Fabulous.
Never in a million years.
Jay-Z and Fabulous.
I would have gotten one of those right and the other wrong.
Oh, Willie, you picked the wrong number. Should have left 9 for Poulin.
All right.
That's right. I got 1 so far.
Okay. We are tied at 1. Mr. Poulin, 15 for 15. Pick a number.
And we'll go with number 5.
Okay. What name did WWF New York rebrand to prior to closing its doors in 2003?
The World.
Very nice. High five.
No words. 16 for 16. Pick a number.
Well, speaking of 16, I'll go with 16.
Okay. This is to set you up for victory. 30 seconds. How many WWE pay-per-views have been held in venues other than the U.S. and Canada?
SummerSlam 92, I believe, would be the only one.
He's cut. He's cut. The streak is over. SummerSlam 92 and New Year's Revolution 2005 emanating from Puerto Rico.
Shit. I forgot about that.
All right. An opening, Mr. Willie. Can you deliver?
Let's go 58.
Okay. Okay. 30 seconds. I'm in an issue here. Stand by. Okay, here we go. Which tag team kidnapped Matilda in 1988, leading to a large fan write-in campaign?
The Head Shrinkers.
Nothing for you.
Oh,
Willie.
You have about 4 years early on now.
Fuck, the Islanders.
Islanders.
Come on. That was a gimme.
There's a chip in the glass slipper. But you do have another shot here, so go ahead.
Yep. Two.
Okay.
Somewhere Derek Cornett's punching his computer angrily.
He's doing that every day. It has nothing to do with me.
It's true. All right, 30 seconds. Ring announcer Michael Buffer once famously butchered Bret Hart's name during an introduction. What incorrect last name did he use for the Hitman?
Shart.
What?
Is that your answer?
No, that's not my answer. That's the old CWO 20 joke.
20 seconds.
Oh, God, it starts with an H. Gosh, I don't know.
10 seconds.
People are screaming at me right now. Mm-hmm. Risha is screaming. Let's go, Harvey.
To do worse than Josh Richer.
Brett the Hitman Clark.
Clark,
of course, is infamously.
You're thinking of Matt Harvey, the Mets pitcher slash one half of the Hardy.
Jeff kids. Harvey.
Jeff Harvey.
Jeff Harvey. Same thing.
Jason Hervey. What?
Scott and Willie both suck. All right. Yeah. Poolin.
Yes.
You're giving a gift. Willie could put the pressure on. No, it's not. Is it?
Yep, it is.
Got two, and he's the home team in this inning.
All right. Damn it, I don't all want right. it to be.
Okay.
Going 17.
Can't accept it.
He had his chance. 30 seconds. For the win and a berth in the championship, who was the first man to be eliminated from a Royal Rumble match on pay-per-view?
God damn it. I don't know.
Think of Federation guys. 20 seconds.
Shit. I don't know.
10 seconds.
I got nothing.
Take a guess.
The Warlord.
It was Demolition Smash.
Shit.
Of course, him and Axe squared off to kick off the 1989 Royal Rumble.
I was going to say one of Demolition, but I wasn't sure if it would be right.
Well, see, that's why you always take a guess. All right, Mr. Poolin, you can still put the pressure on Willie here.
All right. 17.
Who won the WCW title at the final Starrcade?
Final Starrcade. Trying to remember who was champion at that point.
20 seconds.
Scott Steiner?
All right.
I had checked out of WCW at that point.
The pressure's on.
I've passed out.
You need two to tie.
All right, let's do this. 200.
Okay. All the way down the bottom of the list here. All right, if you get this right, you're still in it. If you get it wrong, Mr. Poolin moves on to the championship. Which was the first tag team in WWF history to win the World Tag Team titles on a match aired on Superstars?
Jesus.
20 seconds.
Let's go for God. Go for the Heart Foundation. No, Brain Busters.
What's your final answer?
Brain Busters.
It's all there, black and white, oh, clear as crystal. You get nothing. You lose.
Mr. Willie, go with your gut instinct, my friend. It was
it's
the Heart Foundation.
Cinderella.
It was the Heart Foundation defeating the British Bulldogs to win the world titles back in 1987. When you said it, I almost jumped off the couch.
Go with the instinct. I know that about test taking. Oh, well.
All right. Sorry, I'm not trying to sell my bullet short, but that was a heartbreaker there, Willie. I thought you had it. Mr. Poulin, you are in the finals, my friend.
Yes.
Great work. Congratulations.
Nice job, Mike.
Willie, you had an awesome run. No one expected you to be here, but you made it all the way to the semis. And you had a chance.
Yes, I did.
You had a chance.
Absolutely had a chance. I should have known all three of those.
It's chinks in the armor of Mike Poulin. So, all right, Mike, we will talk to you soon for the finals. Willie, congratulations. We'll see you on PlaceToBeNation.com. And Scott, I'll talk to you in a moment because we'll be back with matchup number two in the semifinals. This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home. All right, Scott, we are back. Matchup number two, the final four semifinals here in the 2013 Place to Be Trivia Tournament. One man has advanced to the finals. Two men await to see who will join him. Here tonight, two upstarts. Two guys, this is their first entry into the tournament this year, and here they sit. First, Mr. Aaron George. Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing super, boys. You guys?
We are great.
Awesome.
And we are ready for this, what should be a great matchup. Put a lot of pressure on you. Michael's perfect style.
Great.
His opponent, the man from Chicago, the one and only Mr. Ryan Everett. Ryan, how are you?
Pretty good. Got my Chicago Enforcer jersey on. Hope it's good luck.
No, well, probably not. But...
Jesus Christ.
Scott, tell us how these men arrived here.
All right, let us go back through the history books here. As I go through my pages of paper, because, you know, I am the old one. Let's see.
I thought you had this information at your fingertips.
Mr. Everett, you advanced by beating Steve Riddle, followed by Jeremy Nichols, and then Todd Weber. Aaron George, you defeated Ashley Cruz, followed by Rob King, and then Derek Cornett.
Yes! 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 All right, here we go. Medium hard, hard, 20 seconds, 30, 30. Scott, flip the coin. Who's up first?
Mr. Everett, you will be going first, okay. Followed by Mr. George. And Aaron, you, of course, will be the home team, so you'll always be at the bottom.
You'll get it right at some point, Scott.
You'll get it right at some point. Who?
Maybe
anyway, the winner
so
moves on.
Good.
Who cares what the order is? All right. Mr. Everett, you are up first in the mediums. Pick a number between 1 and 190.
I'll go with 50.
Okay. Which wrestler picked a fight with Jim Ross by mocking his ailments in 2000, leading to a feud with Jerry Lawler? 20 seconds.
That would be Taz.
Oh, yeah!
All right, 1-0. Mr. Everett puts one in the left column.
Mr. George?
Yes.
Pick a number. 1 and 190.
Let's go with 11.
Okay. What arena hosted SummerSlam 1994 as its inaugural event?
Oh, the United Center.
Pretty good.
That was a good question for Mr. Everett if he would have gotten it.
All right, both gentlemen out of the mediums now. We head to the hards.
Har, har, hards.
Har, 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 har. Mr. George, Aaron, pick a number.
Let's go with 11.
Okay. Okay. 30 seconds. What was the name of the faction that featured veteran WCW stars led by Ric Flair in early 2001?
Yeah. Christ. You guys finally got me with one. Shit.
10 seconds.
I'm going to guess the Millionaires Club, but I think that was earlier.
Ah. It was the Magnificent Seven.
Ah, fucking goddamn old movies.
I think there are seven people watching WCW.
Yes, that's the crowd base. Of course, I was capped with the great return of Animal prior to Sid destroying his leg in the ring. So.
Oh, yes. Amazing. What a great show that must have been.
That's your right, prize. Whoever wins this tournament, that's the prize. They get a copy of WCW Sin from 2008.
Yes. All right, Ryan, you're in the hards now as well. Pick a number.
I'll go with 30.
Okay. Okay. 30 seconds. Which deadly submission maneuver did Meng utilize on many victims during his time in WCW?
That would be the Tongan Death Grip.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
All right, 2-1. Now, Mr. Everett, if you get this next one correct, you put the pressure all on Mr. George to tie you up.
Pick a number.
All right, I'll go with 34.
Okay. 30 seconds to set you up for victory. Who was the legendary promoter of championship wrestling from Florida?
That was Eddie Graham.
Very nice. High five.
Nice work, Mr. Everett. Not an easy one there. All right, Mr. George, you need to get 2 in a row right to stay alive here.
All right, let's do this.
Pick a number.
Oh, shit, it's on me. That's right. let's go with 3.
Okay. All right. 30 seconds to stay alive. Who did Hulk Hogan defend the WWF title against on the first episode of Saturday Night's Main Event?
Cowboy Bob Orton.
It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You get nothing. You lose.
It's Volkov, isn't it?
Nikolai Volkov.
God damn it. Shit. All right, well, whatever.
All right, Mr. Everett, congratulations, sir. You have moved on to the 2013 PTB Trivia Tournament Championship round.
Oh, boy.
Aaron George, you had a great run. You rid the world of Derek Cornett. To me, that alone is worth prizes of many riches. Yes.
Just give me the copy of Sin, okay? I got rid of Cornett.
You receive a lifetime of riches. Okay, Scott. Let's go take a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this show. How about that?
Let's do it.
All right, Scott, we are back and the finals are set.
Yes.
It will be Mike Poulin, Ryan Everett.
Neverett.
For the 2013 PTB Nation Trivia Tournament. The championship match will air one night from this evening when we do the NFL preview show with Kyle Porchetti next Monday night. So, there it is, your quick SummerSlam recap. We'll be back Wednesday night with the big Scott Keith interview. Hopefully you all join us for that. We're really looking forward to that one. Next week, NFL preview with Kyle Porchetti, as we mentioned. And also, Wednesday night, Christopher Robin Zimmerman, CRZ in the house. A couple of big interviews. And hopefully as well, we'll hear from Kevin Kelly at some point here in the next couple weeks as well. We'll get that up for you too. So thanks as always for standing by us. We are sorry about the Kevin Kelly thing. We'll get that straightened out and fixed up for you and make sure we deliver on that promise. So for Scott, I'm Justin. We'll be back Wednesday night when Scott Keith invades PTB Nation. Take care. Too soon.
Hope he hasn't read anything that I did like 10 years ago.
I don't think many have read anything you've written ever, so.
The history of the universe.
Yes. Like painted kites, those days and nights, they went flying by. The world was new beneath a blue umbrella sky. Then softer than a piper man, one day it called to you. I lost you to the summer wind. The autumn wind and the winter winds, they have come and gone. And still the days, those lonely days, they go on and on. And guess who sighs his lullabies through nights that never end? My fickle friend, the summer wind. The summer wind, warm summer wind. The summer wind.